Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to talk to you guys about what's going on in the economy. I don't know if people are prepared for it. It shouldn't be a surprise what we're going to get in 2020, but I kind of want to give you guys some indicators to look out for. I do this often. I've done it in a couple other podcasts, but I think we're getting closer and closer to that time frame. So the Fed is having their meeting tomorrow, December 15th, and they're going to talk about how they plan on raising interest rates or not raising rates or whatever they plan on doing to combat the issue that we're having in the U.S. They always say that our economy is booming, it's the best economy it's ever been. We got the number one economy in the world. You know, that's kind of how they always make it out to be. And that's not the case. That's not the case. And it hasn't been for a while. We are not the greatest economy in the world anymore. But all you hear on the news is kind of like, oh, man, our country is rebounded. We're doing better numbers than it was before. Whatever hit. That's not the case. Like you guys heard me say in the past, we never reached the levels before the pandemic. We never have. We almost got there in October, November of 2020 when they gave us the stimulus, but that money clearly only lasted for a little bit of time, and it did what it did. It stimulated the economy, but only to a certain point. So when that money ran out, what happened? In addition to that, the cost of everything went up. So even the money that they give us, like say, for instance, if you got $1,300 at the rate of inflation, let me just do the math. If they did give us $1,300, and I'm using the calculator, minus what inflation really is, in essence, they gave us $1,000. And that's depending on what you bought. So, I mean, they really didn't do much. I mean, what's $1,000 going to do? It could do something for people that live in maybe the Midwest or some people in Florida. But if you live in California, $1,000 wouldn't even be able to pay your rent. It could have helped out for maybe a month. But if you have two kids, or if you just have one kid, I mean, going grocery shopping, if you're trying to get something healthy, like not even steak or anything, just something like fruits and veggies, water, you're going to spend at least $250 to $300 a week to get, the right foods to eat. So you're not eating anything bad for you. So, I mean, $1,000 in California would only last somebody maybe 3 or 4 weeks at that. But now we're here. So tomorrow, they're having an FOMC meeting. And in my opinion, they have no choice but to taper, which is going to drive the market down. If you can tell, I don't know if you guys are, obviously you're listening to this podcast, you have had to have been in stocks or thought about it or looked at it at some point in time over the course of listening to my podcast. So you can see, if you looked at it lately or look at it now, this thing is probably going to air 3 or 4 days after. So, but looking at it right now, the market has been in a downward trajectory for the past two weeks. And it's because I think people are finally understanding that inflation is real. And it's going up in a rapid pace. Because if you look at October, supposedly, inflation was 6.2. And then now we're in November, inflation is 6.8. That's a huge jump in only a month. So in all actuality, I mean, like I told you guys on, I don't know what podcast that was, but we're at 20%. One economist, Peter Schiff, probably heard of him. He said we're at 15%. So, you know, based on the numbers that I did, not saying I'm better than him, but I'm just using certain numbers that I've seen and I did the math on them and we're at 20 and he's an economist and he's saying we're at 15. So, and they're saying we're at 6.8. So, I mean, this is just only going to continue. So what the Fed has to do generally when you have an issue like this with high inflation, you normally you are okay with inflation just so that people can get money cheaply and easily to stimulate the economy, give jobs and do all those things. But when you have high inflation like we do right now, typically you don't have unemployment at what we have right now. So this is the issue that the Fed is going to have. Do we raise rates with an unemployment that is the level of what it is, which is going to make it harder for people to get employed? Or do we just let inflation run hot like it has been doing, which is getting hotter and hotter? I told you guys many times, the economy has a lag. They're just now trying to implement this. If you go back to October, we were at 6.2. Now we're in November and we're at 6.8. They don't have anything in place right now. So what do you think is going to be for December? What do you think is going to be for January? They can't start to raise interest rates until the first quarter of next year. I mean, they could do what they did in 2020 in March when, you know, whatever just started. When that first hit, he came out on a Friday. He dropped interest rates immediately. That shot the gold price up. If he tomorrow or Friday, which they like to do when the market closes, they might do it on a Friday where they just bump interest rates overnight, which is going to obviously kill the market, but they're probably going to do it overnight. And then Monday morning is going to be a shit show everywhere. I think that's what they're going to do. But tomorrow, December 15th, at the FOMC meeting, he is going to talk about his plan to combat inflation. So with him doing that, that's why if you've seen the market and the crypto market, it's been trading sideways. The stock market has been going down, actually. Both of them, in all honesty, have been going down. Crypto tends to respond a little bit better because it's not really directly connected to the economy. But stocks are basically down, especially if you're in like commodities, which I've always tell you guys to get in. Obviously, we have some market manipulation going on right now, because even with inflation being what it is right now, gold price should be higher. Commodities, everything should be higher because everything is higher. The cost of goods and everything is higher right now. So it doesn't make sense for commodities to be where they are, but it's completely market manipulation. And the Fed gave the, you know, largest firm, BlackRock, the money to be able to manipulate the market. You know what I mean? So that's what I see going on. But back to the economy, we are in front of a shitstorm. It's like going to a place and there's an earthquake and you're like, oh, damn. You're like in Taiwan or somewhere by the water. And you're like, damn, that was a big earthquake. And normally, if there's a massive earthquake, typically, sometimes you can get a tsunami following that. And if you're on the beach, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a tsunami, the water draws back. It'll draw back. I don't know how far, but it'll go a ways where you'll be like, where the hell did the water go? That's kind of how it is. So that's what I see. And so if you're sitting there and you have never seen that before, you're going to be like, oh, man, that's crazy. The water was just right here and now it's gone. And you're not going to be prepared for when that water comes back in the next 5 or 10 minutes. And it's going to be a 30-foot wall of water and you can't, there's no escape. You can't go anywhere. You can't run from it. It's too late. You should have knew better when the water drew back and you should have been like, okay, that's unusual. I don't know what that is. Is it low tide or high tide or whatever? You should have knew better when you were out there. But if you didn't, you're going to get smacked. You're going to get smacked. You're going to be dead because a 30-foot wall of water is taking you out. That's kind of where we're at right now. We're in this. The hurricane already happened in 2020, right? And the water drew back. But nobody was paying attention. Some people did. I mean, if you listen to my podcast, since 2020, I've been telling you guys to prepare for what's about to happen in this coming year. So if you even now, I mean, I think there's still time. We'll see what they're going to do. But just know that the tsunami is coming. I mean, the debt tsunami that we have is ridiculous. So just know that that tidal wave or that tsunami is going to hit. And when it hits, it's going to be extremely bad. That's kind of where we're at. And so the Fed is between a rock and a hard place because unemployment is still very high and inflation is extremely high. And neither one of these two things can sustain. If you fix one, the other one's going to break. So either way go, the economy's doomed. And this is just not a U.S. thing. But the reason why I'm referencing that, because that's where I am right now. But this is going to be a global situation. If this tsunami hits the U.S., it's going to obviously hit everywhere else. But I think we have a global situation that's brewing. If it's not now, it's going to be in 2023. But just know that this thing is coming. So if you guys, you know, whenever you hear this, I hope you watch the FOMC meeting. And I hope they, based on, you know, what I'm telling you now, should give you an idea based on what they said. If they said they're raising rates in the first quarter of March, I mean, the stock market probably went the other way. If it didn't go the other way right now, it's probably going to go the other way at the beginning of next year, January, February. It's going down. And if they decide to stay dovish and say we're going to hold fast until June of next year or third quarter of next year, then that gives you a little bit more time. But I wouldn't trust that, because I guarantee you inflation is going to get hotter because there's nothing in place to slow it down. We went from 6.2 to October, 6.8 in November. Who knows what it's going to be in December? Who knows what it's going to be in January? So if they haven't pumped the brakes, which they didn't, which they should have a long time ago, then just know that it's going to be higher and they might do it overnight. They might overdo it. You know, let's say January gets here and inflation's at, like, supposedly, based on their numbers, is at 8%. That means inflation is really at like 23 or 24%. They're going to hit the brakes. They're going to come out overnight and do something like they did before. And it's going to destroy everything. The market's going to crash. It's going to send everything into a panic. So, and I think the benefit of me being able to live in Los Angeles, I get to see a lot of things that are coming to other places. So I don't know if you guys remember in 2008, when the real estate market collapsed, it hit LA first, and then I think it hit Arizona, and then I think it hit Florida, and then it just started spreading throughout the US. I know you guys see what's happening on TV with LA. You got to watch the news. If you have not seen what's going on in LA, take a minute after you get done listening to this and just Google what's happening in LA. What is happening in LA right now is going to happen in the rest of the US for sure. So if you're looking at the home invasions, the food, anything in general, it's going to hit. It's going to hit regardless of whether it be a month from now, 2 months from now, a year from now, it's going to hit. I give an example of like the reason, like everything else is so slow. I remember coming out in 2012 to before I lived here to the All-Star game when it was in LA. And I remember hearing Drake in the club. And I'm like, man, I was telling my boy at the time, I'm like, man, this is cracking. I hadn't even heard it. I hadn't heard of Drake at all. And I was like, I guarantee this dude blows up. That's just what I was telling my boy at the time. And we got back to Florida, hadn't heard anything. I can't even think of the song. Anyway, it doesn't even matter. But 7 months later, we're in Orlando. This is when I lived in Orlando. We're in Orlando and we're out, you know, dancing at the club or whatnot. And then the song comes on. So, I mean, 7 months later, this song that was like all over the All-Star weekend, almost everywhere we went, we just heard a couple of different Drake songs. We didn't hear not one song until 7 months later when it got to Florida. I think I was there. Then we went to Tampa one time and they played. And then I was telling my boy again, like he was going to Afghanistan. And I'm like, by the time you get back, this dude's going to be all over the place. And a year later, you know, 2013, Drake was popping. Drake was everywhere. So I'm just giving you guys like an example of how slow everywhere else is. in regards to what happens in LA. There's a lag. I keep telling you guys, there's a lag with almost everything. Everything starts in bigger cities. Kind of everything starts in LA because of, you know, Hollywood and whatnot. And then it just goes from there. There's so many people here. There's so many moving parts to this city that it starts here first. And then it just spreads throughout the entire US. And I can say the same thing is similar for New York, but I've noticed it for sure on the West Coast the most. So what's going on in LA? I mean, follow the news, follow what's going on out here, and you'll see it's going to start trickling down to everywhere else. I don't know. Homelessness is already picking up in other places. It may not get as bad as it is in LA because obviously the weather's nice here. And some people are dropping off homeless people in LA from other states, which is making it worse. But the economy as a whole is just bad here. I can't even explain to you how bad the economy is in LA as far as businesses and how it used to be before. So, I mean, just know that it's gonna spread throughout the US. It's like a virus. So, I mean, I don't even think people really understand what's coming. And I could be early. I think you guys should tune into Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff called the 2008 collapse. He might have been a couple months, maybe a year early, but he was on point. So you can kind of see with data what's gonna happen. And if you, like I told you guys on the last podcast, if you look at history and you use data, you can kind of predict what's going to happen. They say, who is that? Mark Twain. History doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. So if you look at data again and you look at history, that's why I told you guys, if you really want to get rich, study history, because it goes in ebbs and flows. So I think that, you know what I mean? If you can call something, I mean, with Peter Schiff, he called it early, but he saw it coming, basically. So even if you're a year early, even if what I'm saying, I'm a year early, that just gives you more time. But if I am right and we only have 2 or 3 months, you'll still, you know, have at least a little bit of a runway to figure your situation out. Start planning right now. And that's what I said, man. I don't think people should be out here dropping $2,000 on Christmas gifts. Because, I mean, the economy is not getting any better. And I don't think people are really paying attention or their eyes are not open to it. And it leads me to my next point with the Omicron. I have no idea why the media is, they're back to politicizing this whole thing again. There's so much data out there from South Africa that suggests the Omicron variant is not a big deal. It's a mild version. This is what we want. You want a milder version of this virus, because if the new variant, people are still getting it, but they're not going to the hospital and they're not getting sick, you would want that variant to spread over the Delta variant, right? So obviously you don't want any type of virus to spread because it can obviously mutate, which is why they keep saying people should get vaccinated, womp, womp, womp. You want the Omicron variant to spread because it's a milder version of something that we've had for the past almost 2 years. We want the new variant because if that goes around and say that does mutate, maybe it'll mutate into a lesser variant on the next go round. I mean, we're going to keep having these variants because everyone's not vaccinated, which it is what it is. You know what I mean? I'm not for it or against it. I don't give a shit. But I think that if we're going to let a variant spread, hell, let it be this one. Because in the event that it's a milder case, I think there's one study I was looking at. It was saying 629 people in South Africa had the variant. 409 were in ICU, which equated out to one person per hospital. That is amazing. Those are great numbers, in my opinion. That's kind of what we want. You know what I mean? Even though 420 were in ICU, I mean, the biggest issue that we have is not really the variant or the virus, I'd say, but it's the hospitalization that comes behind so many people getting it. And the hospitals just get overloaded because, you know, you already got people that are sick from other things. You already got people who are already in there for, you know, dying or gunshots or whatever the case is. So we're just getting overloaded. But if you got a scenario like this where people are getting it and they are still going to the hospital, and it's, you know what I mean, spread out that far to where it's one or two per hospital, I mean, that's a win in my opinion. So the narrative that they have with not telling everyone about this data And the same data is going on in Europe. The only thing that they're pushing is getting vaccinated. You know how you get the bill? I don't know if you guys, if you don't have health insurance, I'm going to give you guys an example. This is what I think is going on with this whole vaccination thing. And this is just my opinion. But if you take the Omicron variant, it's not as severe. People aren't really getting sick from it. It's a very, very mild case. They took it and they put it all over the headlines. They made it seem like the Ebola had just came back and it was taking people out. That's how they're making it seem in the UK. That's how they're making it seem. I don't know. You know, they're making it seem like they're in the US for sure. I don't know about any other parts of the world, but I know these two for sure are making it seem like, oh my God, this new variant is spreading. I get it from a health standpoint. You don't want to get it, and it's mutating very fast. You don't want that. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a milder case, which I would rather prefer that one over the Delta variant.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get into real estate investing? You can change this as quickly or as slowly as you want to now. Imagine yourself networking and making new connections in real estate globally, or buying an investment property in a market or country that fits your needs. People do. They know what I'm talking about. And now you can too with InvestFAR. Connect and join the network. Remote investing made safe and easy.
So back to what I was saying about what I think is going on. The flu shot without insurance costs $75. How much do you guys think the vaccine for the current issue that we have, how much do you guys think that cost? It's $550 per shot. That is amazing. Oh my God. I don't even know if people understand it. I just so happen to get a bill through my health insurance. And you know how you get that thing in the mail, like I was saying, it says, this is not a bill. This is just how much you paid. $557 for the shot. That is amazing. And the actual flu is $75 without insurance. Am I tripping? I mean, if they're out here saying that the Omicron variant is spreading, which it is, and all of that is not that mild. Again, I get it from a health standpoint, but they're talking about Pfizer saying we may need a fourth booster sooner than we think. I have not seen not one person talk about getting a healthier terrain, doing vitamin D or taking zinc or taking other supplements to help out, or getting the comorbidities down. No one has said that. They're in this whole get the vaccine agenda. They're not even talking about the other things, because majority of the people that are ending up in the hospital have comorbidities. There are some one-offs where people that were healthy, they ended up being in there. But as a whole, I mean, there's another statistic that I saw that said 47% of the people that were over 60 that were vaccinated ended up being in the hospital. So we know that shit ain't working. You know, it could be working, but it's not as effective as it used to be. I mean, I don't know. But I see, again, I said this is my opinion. The flu shot without insurance is $75. This current shot is $500 per shot. And they're pushing four shots. That's $2,000. No. That's like $2,200. My bad. $2,200 per person that gets the vaccine. And we're talking about 330 million people in the U.S. We got the U.K. And if they're hitting for $2,000 per person, that is a lot of money, man. That is a lot of money. And especially if you're talking about a variant that is not that big of a deal, man, I don't know. That's just something to make you, you know, put some thought in your head on what could be really going on and why you got some people. Do you know that this vaccine came from Germany and 72 or 80% of the population in Germany is not vaccinated? That's crazy to me. The people that made it don't even want to take it. That's interesting. But I'm just saying, man, I don't know, man. If you look at it from a standpoint of like why they're pushing this thing so heavy and not talking about other ways to mitigate it, you know, without doing that, there's obviously Eastern medicine. There's obviously other types of things that you can do to prevent yourself from just like getting a cold or any kind of upper respiratory infection. There's a lot of things you can do to prevent yourself from getting that. They're not talking about that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. They keep pushing this vaccine thing over and over and over again. I think the narrative behind that has ran out. It hasn't ran out in the U.S. for whatever reason, but it definitely has ran out in Europe, in other parts of like Australia. They're protesting. I mean, they're protesting. If you guys have not seen that, these protests are like 200,000 plus in certain countries, man. I would look on the look online and see what's going on. And I feel like the U.S. is turning into China almost with how they censor things, because in China, they censor everything. You have no idea what's happening in Hong Kong with them burning stuff down and all the protesting they've been doing. Like 2020 was crazy in Hong Kong. And I don't know if anybody's seen that on the news at all whatsoever. The same thing is going on right now. They're going crazy in other countries. But you don't see CNN or anyone covering that. You know what I mean? They covered that stuff during the BLM movement when George Floyd got killed in 2020. They were talking about, in Germany they're supporting it, and this country they're supporting it, but nobody is talking about what's happening right now in Australia. Look that up. Look what's going on in Australia. Oh my God. So there's other countries out here that are like over this, and they're like, I'm done. Granted, the U.S. doesn't have as strict of restrictions. L.A. has some heavy restrictions, though, but like, for the most part, most of the U.S. doesn't. So I think that's one reason why they're not, you know, wilding out like other countries are. Because in Germany, for instance, you got to have both shots and you have to test negative 24 hours before you can go inside of any place. That's going to cause some. That could not happen in the U.S. I mean, they'd burn this place down if that were to come up. So I think certain things, as far as restriction goes, or causing other countries to be a little bit more aggressive with, you know, with their protesting. And if, you know, again, if they did some of those things over here, it would go down. But LA is probably the only place that has some heavy restrictions. I think New York has some heavy restrictions, and they've been protesting in New York too. But as far as California goes, LA County is the only county that has this mandate to where you can't go anywhere and do anything. And there's certain places here that aren't really following it. You know, if they have a patio, they'll let people go out there and eat on the patio. And if you want to sit inside, that's a little different story, but you can still kind of move around. But it is kind of annoying. You know what I mean? I'm highly contemplating making my exit from here, because I feel a certain type of way about being told to do something that I really don't have to do, especially just, you know, my lifestyle. It's not one of those lifestyles where I'm always around thousands of people. So to have to get something that I really don't feel like I need to, but it's forced upon me in order for me to go do anything, I really don't like that. And like I said, LA's already, if you come to LA, or if you see what's happening, the trajectory of this city is not that good. So I don't want to be somewhere waiting around for what could happen or see it happen. I don't want to be around 4 years from now to see what turns out in LA. I don't know yet exactly what I'm going to do, but I will probably move. I mean, Long Beach, 15 minute drive, is still not in LA County, Orange County. So I'm trying to decide on what I want to do, but I'm very preventative. I'm not a reactive type of person. And most people are reactive. And that's why I'm trying to educate you guys with the different podcasts that I do. Don't be reactive. Be proactive in whatever you do so you don't get blindsided. And that's what I think is going to happen to a lot of people, because I mean, you guys might have heard, you know, me say this all the time. People think they're woke, and they're clearly not woke, because if they were, we wouldn't have half the people we have living in Los Angeles County, for sure. I'm going on a ramble with this, but my last podcast, I told you guys to be prepared for a market correction in March or April. I think if you guys, whenever you hear this, you will have seen what's going to happen in the market by what goes on tomorrow at the FOMC meeting. So if you're listening to this and they raise rates, then you will have seen the market correct. And if it didn't correct now, and if they gave a date on when it's going to correct, be prepared for the following month or month before that, they start seeing people selling off. And when they do raise rates, be prepared to see a correction in the housing market. Be prepared to see a collapse in the stock market. Be prepared to see a lot of different things. So take that data from what you got on the meeting and then process it that way. And if they decided to keep things the way they are and they said they're not going to raise rates until 2023, be prepared for the cost of everything to continue to skyrocket. So you need to really start investing if they decided to keep rates low and say they're not going to raise them. You need to be prepared for hyperinflation. We're definitely going to see hyperinflation if they don't raise rates. So I'm trying to give you guys information based on something after the fact, because it's, like I said, this is going to come out post the interest rate raise, the interest rate hike, or leaving it the same. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're going to raise rates in the first quarter or second quarter of next year. And it goes back to what I was saying to you guys before, when I think the market correction is going to happen. I do see that with inflation being what it is right now, they could try to babysit the market because they don't want the market to tank, because if the stock market tanks, that's going to raise a lot of fear in the overall economy, not just in the US, but worldwide. And that is going to really shake up the entire global economy. So I think what they will do is say they're going to stay the way it is for now, and they're going to think about raising it in the first quarter. They're not going to be definitive, because the Fed can't do that, because if they do definitive answers, it's going to rock the market. And so they're going to be very ambiguous for the sake of the stock market and the sake of the economy. I think they're going to say we're going to potentially raise in March or June of next year. And that means they're probably going to surprise us with a rate hike in some point in the beginning of 2022. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. That's what they did last time. Why would they do anything different? I don't think they're going to let us know what they're going to do, because that would just be stupid, in my opinion. So they're not going to do it. So guys, be prepared for what is about to happen. I keep telling you guys to diversify in other countries. I would say that the dollar is strengthening right now from what I've seen. So commodities, if you're in it, like I told you guys, it's probably getting beat up right now, and it's probably going to get beat up even further. So keep that in mind. I mean, have diamond hands and hold through it if you can. But I could also recommend selling half of what you own in case the market does turn. You can buy back in at a lower price. You know what I mean? So you don't say you got, you know, 1,000 shares, maybe sell 500, because the market does what it wants to do. And you leave 500 in there, it could turn, it could go on a run. And if you don't have any money in there, you're going to lose out on that run. And if you have lost any money, if you leave half of it in there, that half will compensate for what you took out, and it'll go on that run. If it does, we go into a downturn and you only have 500 in there, you would at least come out with what you had when it was 1,000, and you won't lose as much. So again, you will be in a position to be able to buy back in. So that's kind of what I'm doing. And that's kind of what I also recommend. This is not investment advice, but I think that's a good strategy, because if you did have your whole 1,000 in there and the market does turn, you're going to get wiped out. I don't think that's a good idea, but I think you keep half in. It's called leaving a runner. I think you leave a runner and the market does turn, then you're good. And if it doesn't and it goes on the negative side, then you don't lose as much. So back to the dollar appreciating, that is bad for commodities, even though it's manipulation, because inflation is super high. If inflation is high, that means the dollar is depreciating. But again, it's being manipulated. With the manipulation of the dollar being higher, that should make you want to trade in other currencies, because with the dollar being stronger, it makes your purchasing of other currencies that much stronger. So again, if the dollar is at, you know, whatever it's going to be at, that means the peso is going to be cheaper, Colombian peso. So, you know, I just use Colombia because that's where I'm at. I would go and I would transfer to get more Colombian pesos when the dollar does appreciate. That's what you should be doing. So look at other countries that you want to invest in. And when the dollar appreciates, you go out there as it is now. You go out there and you buy some properties in those countries, or you buy some currency in those countries of interest when the dollar does appreciate. So again, I'm telling you guys to get out of the U.S. I keep saying that. I'm not saying give up your citizenship, but I think you need to diversify. And it, what would be a better time? Because all countries' dollars are depreciating because all countries printed a lot of money. some countries are not going to be as bad off because they don't have as much debt. But we have a lot of debt in the U.S. and we have a depreciating dollar to pay off that debt. So I get why, from a business standpoint, the U.S. is doing what they're doing. But on the other side of that, you can also benefit from this. So I think you guys need to get out of the country, however you can, whether it be, again, if you're in the U.S., Mexico's close. I wouldn't do Canada. I would do somewhere where my currency or the dollar is going to be that, like, I mean, triple or quadruple or 100 times. I would go somewhere where my money is like basically going to make me rich in essence. If I take 50,000 to Colombia, I don't know, that's like, you know, billions of dollars. You know what I mean? So I would do something where my currency was going to have a significant exchange rate. So I'm telling you, man, I see a lot. I see a lot going on in LA. I see the crime. If you guys ever saw Purge 1 and 2, the first Purge movie is what I feel like LA is going through right now. It's going through something similar to that. Maybe not as bad, but it's something like that. I was talking to one of my boys about that, and it's looking like the Purge. I think this is only gonna spread. And as inflation gets hotter and hotter, because if they don't raise interest rates until next year, inflation's gonna get hotter and hotter. And then we're gonna have this economic issues that we're seeing in other countries. And if we have it in the US, we're kind of violent over here. That's another reason why some people might not be protesting, because they go out there, you know, police, you know, that's a whole nother story. But I think the outcome in the US is gonna be a lot different with outbursts in other countries. They don't set fires and they don't start burning buildings down. They don't do these type of things. They go out there and they protest, and that's what they do. The police don't got to come out and do all kind of things. I think with inflation going to where it's going and the way the economy is going, we're going to have a really bad social unrest in the U.S. And I don't want to be around for that. That's another reason why I'm really considering leaving L.A., because there's been a couple of dead bodies found. I live in a nice neighborhood. I mean, I can't tell you guys where I live, but I live in a real nice neighborhood over near Marina Del Rey, in that area in Los Angeles. And like, I mean, they're finding dead bodies. I mean, they're finding like RV homes set on fire. It's I mean, the helicopter is out all the time. I'm constantly hearing police and the ambulances and the fire trucks nonstop. And that's kind of the thing that I'd heard growing up, because I grew up in a horrible environment, but that's kind of what it is. That's kind of how it's turning out. I've seen two fires in the past year and a half that they had to bring out three helicopters. And this is in the city. This is right around the corner from Marina Del Rey. Like, they had to bring out three choppers to drop water on a fire that was started by a homeless person. And it just got out of hand. So the one thing that I love about being able to travel and go to different places, your perspective is different. So you look at things differently. And that's my issue I have with the States. Only, they say 72% of the people in the U.S. don't have passports, so they have never traveled outside of the U.S. And typically, when you have not traveled outside of the U.S., you have the tendency to see the world as where you are, because you don't know any different. You think that people hate you because you're a certain skin tone when you go somewhere, and they don't give a damn about what color you are. You're just an American. I don't think people get that. So before I started traveling, I thought that if I went to Europe or if I went anywhere, people were going to treat me a certain type of way, because that's how I was used to getting treated in the States. I don't think people really understand on a broad level what other places are like. So they can't really see what's happening in the U.S. and the trajectory that we're headed. We are definitely headed to third world country territory. I said this, I've been saying it for a year. We are teetering that line. The only thing that I think is helping us out is that we have the world reserve currency. Even at that rate, if that doesn't change, I think we're going to be a really expensive third world country. That's what it's like. You got the capital riots that we had. That's the kind of stuff that goes on in like Argentina, you know what I mean? Or Peru, or like Lebanon. You know what I mean? That's happening in the U.S. Homelessness is not even as bad in Colombia. So I'm just saying, if you guys don't have a passport, I think that's something that you guys should try to do. It's like $175. It could be even cheaper depending on where you are. That's on like an express passport, but you can go to the post office. I mean, who knows now? It used to be like $80, you know, with prices now, it's probably $150. I don't know, but I think you guys get a passport and travel. And then your outlook when you come back here is going to be completely different. You're not going to want to be here. It's really hard for me to stay in the U.S. longer than a month. Or 2 months. At 2 months, I'm going insane. I want to pull my hair out at 2 months, and I got to do it sometimes just for, you know, obvious reasons. But it's not looking too good. So I'm not a hater of the U.S. I mean, if I was, I would not be here. I would get out completely. But I think there's advantages and disadvantages. But I think if you can live and out of here without being here and still somehow make money from the U.S. and live somewhere else, I think that's a great idea. If you can split time in two places, I think that's an even better idea. But I don't think you should just rely solely on, you know, being in the U.S. And if you live somewhere else, I think the same goes for you if you're in another country. I don't know how your country is doing, but there's other places that you can go, especially if you're in Europe. Your dollar is even better because it's a stronger currency. So get out of it. Get out of your country. Get out of your situation. But guys, pay attention. I hope you listen to this and go back. If you didn't watch the FOMC meeting, go back and check out the highlights and see what Chairman Powell said and see what his plan is. And that's going to give you an idea on how you should go about. I would probably pay less attention to what the media is saying about these different variants. Do your own research. Get your health in order. Hit the gym. Take supplements, work out, do whatever you got to do. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm just a person that believes if you have a strong immune system, you will be okay. Just learn about different things. Don't just take the word of whoever is telling you, especially when they're getting $550 per freaking shot. I mean, that's something to take into consideration. You know, when you're reading the media, reading the news and being like, man, why are they really doing this? Why are they really saying, you know, doing what they're going about doing? And I say this all the time. They politicized the pandemic and they used it for political reasons to win campaigns or whatnot. I keep saying this with different people that I talk to. I think this is going to run into the next election year. They're going to use it again. I mean, that's kind of just how it seems like that's what's going about. They're using it for manipulation and they're using it for political gain. So I think this is not coming to an end anytime soon. This is just my opinion. So I think you guys should just stop focusing on it. If you're focusing on it, pay attention to other things and just live your life. Obviously, live within what you think is right for you. But I wouldn't just be so focused on what the government is talking about doing and what the media says. And like I told you guys before, these media outlets are all being funded by some of the largest investment firms and hedge funds in the U.S. So keep that in mind. Keep the cost of the vaccines in mind. Just keep all of this stuff at the forefront of your head when you make decisions on what you're going to do with your own life at that. So guys, I went on a ramble, but I thought it was important. I hope it helps you guys on your investment strategy on how you plan to navigate this economy. Good luck, and I will see you guys on the next episode.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.